Are you a soda person or a water person? Let me explain. When you shake up a soda and open it, it explodes all over your clothes, your hands, the floor, and everywhere. It's a mess, and it takes a really long time to clean up. But what happens when you shake a bottle of water and open it? Nothing. Water is just water. It's the same as it was before. It's ready to drink and enjoy. Water is even much healthier for you than soda, right? How does this relate to us as Christians and our personal reactions to when life happens? I know even at 13 years old, I feel a lot of stress juggling my sports, my schoolwork, my youth group activities, and time with my family. And many times I feel like I'm getting shaken around and thrown in all different directions. I'm sure you feel that way too. If I've had a bad day, maybe I've gotten in trouble with my teacher, and then my coach was just a jerk, when I get home, all I want to do is have some peace and quiet time. But my mom and dad always want to talk to me about my day and spend time with me. When my reaction comes out, I'm like a soda. I'm not like a bottle of water. I need to be slow to anger, but it's not always that easy. In James 1:19, we read, "Now this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Soda choices are like a spur of the moment and sometimes filled with anger and being out of control. We may yell, argue, or be very disrespectful. One example of someone being angry in the Bible is Cain. We all know the story of how both Cain and Abel were commanded by God to bring sacrifices for worship. But Cain brought sacrifices that were not pleasing to God. Cain's reaction to this was to become very angry. And in the conversation with the Lord, God gave him an opportunity to resolve the problem in his own heart and get things right. But instead of taking personal responsibility for his actions, Cain blamed Abel. Instead of addressing the issues in his own heart, he saw the problem as being something wrong with Abel. Cain refused to see things as it really was, and his thinking was wrong. Thus, the action he took was wrong. Another example in the Bible of anger is Moses. In Numbers 20, we read about the children of Israel needing water. God told Moses to speak to the rock. But instead, Moses did not do what God told him to do. Instead, he lost his temper and struck the rock 2 times. What was behind Moses' outburst of anger? In Numbers 20:12, God said that it was the lack of faith. Rather than fully trusting in God to handle the situation, Moses took matters into his own hands. The act of anger cost Moses dearly because God did not allow him to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So how do we deal with our anger? Are you like Cain and blame somebody else? Do you point fingers at others, maybe your parents, your spouse, or a friend? Or are you like Moses and get frustrated when you're lacking in faith? There are 6 points I want to make to you tonight that can help us overcome our anger. First, study scriptures. In Proverbs 15:1, we read, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." As we read earlier in James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. When we react to others, we need to be calm and helpful to others. Point number 2, discuss our problems with other Christians. James 5:16 reads, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Effective, fervent prayer and the righteous man avails much. Galatians 6:2 also reads, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:14 states, "Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Sometimes our Christian friends have had the same problem and can help us. Number 3, avoid people who are angry. Proverbs 22:24-25 warns us, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest your heart his ways and set a snare for your soul." If we associate with the people who regularly lose their temper, we become just like that person. Point number 4, work to solve the problem that angered us. This may seem obvious, but most angry people do the complete opposite. We may say we are trying to solve the problem, but we are really trying to hurt the person who angered us. Ephesians 4:26 reads, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Instead of attacking the person, we need to work on our own problems. Point number five, apologize to those you have hurt. Luke 17:3-4 reads, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke him, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you, saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Matthew 5:23-24 reads, in order for God to accept our worship, we must seek reconciliation with our brethren. If we actually apologize and forgive others who hurt us, many relationships would be reconciled. Point number six, repent and pray. Acts 8:22 reads, repent of this wickedness and pray for the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you and having such a thought in your heart. 1 Peter 5:7 also reads, casting your care upon him and for he who cares for you. We should pray not only for forgiveness, but for the strength to overcome temptation. We all know that anger is often a habit, but anyone can overcome it with the help of God. Proverbs 16:32 reads, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Proverbs 14:28 reads, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Don't let other people in this world disrupt your inner peace. We all need to work hard and to be more like a bottle of water, calm and in control, even despite the hardest shaking.
I am honored and privileged to be able to work with this group of young men. They are outstanding young men, and they do some outstanding things. They're an encouragement to me, and I am appreciative of their efforts, and I'm appreciative of you being here tonight and helping in this worship service. But if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we will begin here in verse 3 here in just a moment. One of the things that is spoken of quite often in the Lord's church today is the millennial generation. We know that there are downfalls to the millennial generation. We know that there are positives to the millennial generation. And then we know that there are things that can be worked on. And we know that there are things that the millennial generation does really well. But one of the things that sticks with me when it comes to my generation, the millennial generation, is this, is that as millennials, and I'm not here to knock millennials, don't take it that way, but as millennials, we were in essence raised and taught that we can have whatever we want just because we want it. And we can actually have it when we want it because we want it. And I think that we have missed out on the one of the most important things from a scriptural perspective that God would have us to understand is that sometimes good things or the best things require us to wait. Now, I know that that is an issue that the millennials struggle with, but I think that as Christians, we can all agree that every human being struggles with that same thing. We want the good things, and sometimes we don't like to wait. I'll give you an example. I can remember growing up, didn't go to the movies very often as a child, but one of the movies that I was really, really excited to see was, and this is going to be really weird, but I remember when the Pokemon movie came out. You know, everybody's like, oh, really? He's one of those guys? But I remember my grandfather took me to the movie theater to see this movie, and I thought that it was going to be the most spectacular event that would be the highlight of my childhood. But you know and I know that when you go see a movie at the movie theaters, the first 30 minutes to 45 minutes is spent doing what? Watching commercials. We know that, and we know that we're going to have to sit there. And I can remember as a child sitting in that movie theater waiting on this movie to start playing. And like every 5 minutes, I would say to Granddad, is this ever going to end? Are we ever going to get to actually watch the movie? Because sometimes with the good things, we don't like to wait. Ashley and I just bought a house. I can remember going through the process, and if you asked me questions about the process, I was getting really frustrated because I was ready to be done sending paperwork in and sending information proving this and proving that, and it was just a ton of information that was just making the process go so much slower. And I just wanted to get to the good part, owning a house. I think about when Ashley and I bought our first car. I can remember doing all the paperwork, waiting to hear if we were approved and all that. And it took time to get to that part. It was a good part. I can remember when Ashley and I tried out last May May from this past May here. And I can remember trying out. And I remember very clearly sitting down with Ashley and talking and saying, man, I really hope that we get to move to Florence. And we had to wait once we did get accepted here. And there was that lull time where I was just ready to be here with Florence. Because the good things sometimes require us to wait. Peter would say this in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. He would say it this way: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's the important part. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, as many good things that I have gotten to experience in my short 25 years of life, there has been and there will never be anything that I'm looking more forward to than heaven. There will never be anything that excites me more than the fact that I can spend an eternity worshiping God the Creator, God the Almighty. But it's going to take a little while to get there. You know, James would record that we aren't sure of when it's going to happen. James would also record that our life is temporary and it appears for just a moment and it can pass away as fast as it appeared. But the truth is that if, as Christians, we aren't so excited and anxious to get to heaven, maybe our desire isn't fully in heaven the way that it should be. Maybe it isn't what it should be. Think about the good things that heaven has to offer. Think about the idea of never, ever seeing anyone suffer again. Think about being reunited with those loved ones who have gone on in the faith before you. Think about a life with no pain, no sorrow. Think about an eternity where you get to sit at the presence of the man who breathed us or breathed life into us after he created us from dust. That is something to look forward to. And no matter how much time it takes, and no matter how many things we have to endure, as Peter would say, the trials that may come, he says, in the end, when your faith is tested, the result should prove that there is a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. In verse 9, as he would say, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That is what we look forward to. Tonight, if you're here, and maybe you're not completely sold out yet for Christ, maybe you haven't convinced yourself just how great heaven's going to be, and maybe your fire has died out just a little bit for the Lord, you're in the perfect place, surrounded by the exact people that you need to be surrounded by to make that right. To relight or reignite your fire for God so that you can be excited about heaven, that you can look forward to it, and you can have your heart sold knowing that every day that you wait, there is something better coming. Or maybe you're here tonight and you haven't put on Christ in baptism and you haven't started your walk with Him and you want to take the opportunity to learn about Him, to learn about the good news, about how we can be redeemed from our sins and move into an eternal destiny with God Almighty forever and ever, and into a place of rest. We'd love to sit down and study with you. We'd love to walk with you hand in hand and help encourage one another in any part of the journey that we need. Or maybe you're here and you need prayer tonight. If we can be of service to you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.